Well, once again, it's a delight to be able to be with you this morning, albeit in a little bit different venue, but nevertheless, God's got a word for us this morning. And rather than talking specifically about the COVID-19 coronavirus, I thought, you know what? Let's go back to our Jonah series, pick up where we left off, and continue to let the Spirit of God speak to us through this story of Jonah. And this morning, I've titled the teaching today, Dealing with Prodigals, The Prodigal Prophet. And the reason I want to talk about that is that the theme we're going to be using this morning is the idea that all of us have prodigals in our lives. All of us at one time or another probably has been a prodigal. Maybe some of us listening today and watching online are indeed prodigals. Or you've got a prodigal son, or a prodigal daughter, or grandchild, or maybe somebody living in your own home is a prodigal. What are some principles that emerge from the story of Jonah that can encourage our hearts concerning dealing with prodigals? Let's jump right in, and I want to begin by citing this particular verse that I've personally found a very interesting verse. 3 John chapter 4, this is what it says. John writes, the beloved apostle, I have no greater joy than to know that my children are walking in the truth. Now, what's interesting about that verse is that John does not say, the greatest joy I have is seeing someone come to Christ. He doesn't say, the greatest joy I have is worshiping God. Now, those things can bring us joy. But John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says his greatest joy is to know that his children are walking in the truth. When you've got family members who are walking with Jesus, that can settle your heart and encourage your soul. However, there's also no greater pain. And those of us who have family members who are not walking with the Lord, I guess the converse of this particular verse would be, there's no greater pain than when your children or your spouse or your brother or one of your parents is not walking with Christ. So what are some principles that we can learn from Scripture regarding, and particularly from the book of Jonah, regarding dealing with prodigals? I'd like to give you this morning four principles, and here's principle number one. The first principle is God's patience. Mark it well. Hopefully you found a note outline that was available to you on the website, and if you were able to print it off, I just encourage you to take notes this morning. God's patience, what he says, God allows for his children to wander away, walk away, and run away. Notice in Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. As I pointed out a couple of weeks ago, that phrase, but Jonah, is perhaps one of the most tragic phrases in the entire Bible. But Jonah. And so what Jonah does, the Bible says that he runs away. One of the earmarks of a prodigal is that they will either run away, walk away, drift away, or just simply wander away. Now, there are reasons why Jonah did this. We don't know all of the reasons, but some of the reasons could have been these. It could have been because of fear. I don't want to do this. It could have been because of reluctance. I don't think I'm equipped, kind of like Moses when God spoke to him in the desert, the burning bush. It could have been willful defiance. I've got other things I want to do with my life. Or it could have been prejudice, because he was prejudiced against the Ninevites, the Assyrians. They were horrible people and mistreated Jews terribly. Perhaps feelings of inadequacy. We don't know all of the reasons why Jonah ran away from the Lord. We don't know all of those reasons, but God knows the reasons because God can read a person's heart. Now, in the same way, we don't know all of the reasons your loved one, or perhaps you, have walked away from the Lord, or wandered away from the Lord, or drifted away from the Lord. I've heard parents say, She's 25, and she's always struggled with authority issues in her life. Another parent, he's always had to learn things the hard way through the school of hard knocks. Another parent, she got caught up with the wrong crowd. He started dating the wrong person. Some of them have intellectual struggles with doubt. He had serious questions about his faith. I've had other parents say she got caught up in a wrong relationship. He's being seriously tempted by the devil. She's got an addictive behaviors. We don't know. Any more than we know all the reasons why Jonah ran away, you don't know all of the reasons why your loved one has stepped away either. But just like in the case with Jonah, God knows. God knows why your loved one has chosen to turn away from the Lord. And what we want to be able to see in this book of Jonah is that God is patient. Look at this verse right here. Actually, it's in your note outline. Psalm 147:5, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. And so what I want you to underscore, if you're keeping notes on your outline, God understands. He not only understands the heart of the prodigal, he understands the heart of the parents. And so if you're dealing with a prodigal right now in your life, or if you happen to be a prodigal, God's patience in this verse, as Psalm 147:5 says, God understands. He knows what you're going through. And he is patient, and he is continuing to work. And that leads us to principle number two, and that's this: God's pursuit. He not only knows where the prodigal is, but he also seeks out the one he loves. Certainly God knew where Jonah was geographically. If you would have asked God, do you know where Jonah is? God would have said, yes, he has run to Joppa, and he's going to board a boat. I know exactly where he is geographically. But beyond that, the Lord knows where Jonah is, or knew where Jonah was spiritually. He knows where Jonah was. He knew Jonah's address, and he knew Jonah's heart. And he knows the heart of your loved one. And what we notice in chapter 1, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. When your son or daughter or spouse or family member was younger, the word of the Lord came to them. Maybe you've got a daughter that grew up in the church and she's walked away. Maybe you have a son that at one point he loved Jesus and went to VBS and Sunday school, but he's wandered away. Maybe you had a loved one or a spouse or a parent who at one time was sensitive to spiritual things, but they've drifted away. And so what we can see here is that they choose, like Jonah, to go a different direction. Jonah chapter 1, verse 4 reads, then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. Now, if you look at the text carefully, what we see is that Jonah runs from the Lord, but then the Bible says, then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. Isn't it interesting? Jonah's rebellion, his refusal to obey the Lord, his crisis of faith, moved the heart of God. The Bible says in verse 4, then, in other words, after Jonah decided to defy the Lord, then the Lord took action. God actively responds. And the encouragement for you and me is that God is actively responding to the attitude and the soul posture of your loved one. Now, you may not be able to see it right now, but this principle I've got right here on our PowerPoint is that God is relentlessly, just like with Jonah, pursuing your loved one. And that should give you great encouragement. The Lord has not forgotten. He knows what's going on. He's not idly sitting by up in heaven. God is the God who is there. He knows where we are, and he relentlessly pursues us. And that brings us to principle number three, God's providence. Now watch this. God is sovereignly in control of all things, ordaining events and circumstances to draw prodigals back to himself. Here we are as a faith community, California Road Missionary Church, as a county, Elkhart County, as a state, Indiana, as a nation, the United States, and as the world. We are all dealing with the coronavirus. But one of the great reminders we have is that God knows what he's doing. God's in control. He's in control of this virus. He is ordaining all of these things to happen to bring people back to himself. God's not up in heaven saying, I wonder what creative thing I could do to really frustrate people. I know, I'm going to send a virus. No. God allows plague and pestilence and accidents and difficult times to, he uses those things to work in people's hearts to bring them back to himself. Could it be that God is using this worldwide epidemic, this pandemic, to do his work? Maybe he's actually answering your prayers for your son or daughter. That he is bringing to bear circumstances, much like he did in the book of Jonah, to work in the heart of your son and daughter. Now, I want you to notice how we see this happening in the book of Jonah. Great principle, and I'd like for you to mark it well on your note outline if you're taking notes. And this is the principle. Pain is the flag that reality plants in the heart of the prodigal. God will use pain to get people's attention. Pain is an amazing deterrent. You put your hand on a hot stove and you pull it back. You feel it, you get something caught into your eye, you immediately respond. Actually, pain is a gift. And so God will use pain to cause people, motivate people, and actually force people at points to respond in the right way. And so part of it is we don't want pain to come into the hearts of our children, into the lives of our loved ones, but God uses pain. And I'm wondering if through this whole virus issue, through the pain and the discomfort and the uncertainty of the virus, that maybe God is using that in the life of your loved one. Notice that God also, in his wisdom, he used a storm. He used Jonah getting tossed overboard. He used the fish. Actually, he even used the ship captain. And what we can learn from that is that God uses people. God will ordain different people, and in this situation, it was an unbeliever. God will bring people into the life of a prodigal at a strategic moment to say the right thing or do the right thing. Almost always, and there's research on this, when they have interviewed prodigals who have returned to the Lord, this is one of the things that in almost every case the prodigal has said, God used a key person. More often than not, one of the catalysts in causing a prodigal to come home is a key person. Research has also discovered that rarely is that person the parent. God's going to use somebody else. And so as parents, we need to pray that God will bring a Jonathan into the life of your son, that God will bring a Naomi into the life of your daughter, that God will orchestrate circumstances, and that he will orchestrate people to come across the path of your loved one in this process that God's using. And that brings us to point number four, God's process. There was a process in the prodigal leaving. There's always a process. A person just doesn't leave, boom, turn on a dime. There's always a process for them to wander, walk, or drift away from the Lord. In the same way, there's always a process by which they return. God works through processes. And I want you to notice in this principle, there's a sequence of events and an unfolding of time that is required for the prodigal to return. Now, I want you to notice on the next slide what we see in the book of Jonah, how this is illustrated. Take a peek. Jonah chapter 1, verse 4. Remember, Jonah ran away from the Lord, verse 3 says. Verse 4, then the Lord sent a great wind. Verse 7, then the sailors said to one another, let's cast lots. Let's throw Jonah overboard. Then they cried to the Lord. Verse 15, then they took Jonah and threw him overboard. Chapter 3, verse 1, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Notice that there's this progression. There's this series of events. There is this sequence in the process. And you can rest assured that God is continuing to use these then moments in the heart and life of your loved one, in the heart of your son or the heart of your daughter or your grandchild. We see that there is this sequence. Now, people will often say, it doesn't seem like anything is happening. Well, that's because you can't see a person's heart. We walk by faith, not by what? Sight. And so we can't make determinations on what's happening in the heart of your loved one by what you see. God, it works in places where we cannot see. Some people will say, but it's taking so long. It's such a long time. How long must we put up with this with our daughter or my husband or our son or my grandchild? On your note outline, there's this wonderful passage I've printed, 2 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9. Let me read that to you. Peter writes, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. To you, the process seems slow. But you see, you're measuring slowness. This verse says, you're measuring slowness or you're counting slowness according to your timepiece. God's got a different clock. See, God is not bound by time. You and I are bound by time. But God has his timing. And that leads us to this next principle. It's going to take some time. But remember, it's God's timing, not our timing. You see, where I often get a ditch in my life is that I think things need to happen according to my timetable. And one of the things I've been learning through the years is that God has his own timetable. And I need to trust him for his timetable. I've shared this verse with you before. It's one of my life verses. It's printed there on your note outline, but for those of you who don't have a note outline, let me read it to you out loud. You need to mark it. It's found in John chapter 7, verse 6, and this is what it says. Therefore, Jesus told them, the right time for me has not yet come. For you, any time is right. I want you to apply that to the life of your loved one. Or I want you to apply it to this COVID-19 virus we're dealing with. Lord, when are you going to take care of this? When are we going to get back to normal? When are you going to move? When are things going to change? When are we going to get through this? And this is what Jesus says to you this morning. The right time for me has not yet come. For you, any time is right. Like right now. But for me, I am accomplishing my purposes through this situation. Give it some time. I've got this thing. We want God to act now. and the heart of our prodigal. Or with this virus we're all facing. We want God to walk to work now. We want the pain to end. We want the discomfort to end. We want to get back to normal. But God's ways are not our ways. And as believers, I need to trust His plan, not my plans. In the process of bringing Jonah back to himself, have you ever noticed where God brought Jonah? If you've got your Bible, let me reference Jonah chapter 2, verse 10. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. And then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Verse 3, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord, and he went to Nineveh. Now let me reference back to that chapter 2, verse 10. Jonah commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Do you know where that dry land was? What was the dry land that the fish spit Jonah out upon? Israel. Home. God brought Jonah home. And isn't that the desire of your heart? You see, the hope that I cling to as a parent, as a grandparent, as a sibling, as a son, as a friend. I've got people in my life who are prodigals. The hope that I cling to is this, beloved. In God's timetable and according to His terms, He's going to bring my loved ones home. And that's the hope that you can have as well. Amen? Let's pray together, shall we? Father, I just want to thank You for the power of Your word. I thank You, Lord, that even in the midst of this difficult circumstance that we're all facing, that You're in charge, that You're sovereign, and yet You're worth trusting. And I pray, dear Lord, that we'll leave the timetable to You, that we'll leave the process to You, that we'll patiently just wait and pray and trust and cling to Your promises. Lord, we thank You for the privilege of having a church family. But beyond that, we thank You for the privilege of having a shepherd for our souls. And Lord Jesus, we look to You this morning, and collectively together, we're going to choose to trust You this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.